I am Carmen Schrock-Hurst. I teach in the Bible and Religion Department, and I also direct the MIP program. And again, if you didn't catch that acronym from Nathaniel, that stands for Ministry Inquiry Program. Most of you know that we learn best by doing things, not necessarily by reading about them, although certainly reading's a big part of college. But the MIP program is a chance to do, to go out into a congregation, spend 11 weeks learning from a pastor or pastoral team and from a congregation and immersing yourself in their life together. We traditionally have 4 to 5 EMU students who do that each summer. You do not need to be a Mennonite to do this. You do not need to be a Bible and religion major to do this. So perk up your ears. This could be a program for you. It has the potential of earning up to $2,000, which gets applied to your fall tuition, as well as looking great on your resume, but more importantly, transforming your life. This past summer, we had 4 MIPers. 2 were as far away as Iowa and Kansas, and 2 were right here locally. And I would love for you to consider applying for this program. Our deadline for next summer is this January. This morning, we're going to hear from 2 MIPers who did something a little bit out of the box. And we are very open to thinking creative about how you design your MIP experience. Traditionally, it's 11 weeks with 1 congregation. Today, we're going to hear from Rachel Schrock, who is an art major from Kelowna, Iowa. And she pieced together an experience at Crooked Creek Mennonite Camp out in Iowa, along with her home congregation of First Mennonite in Iowa City. And then we're going to hear from Jeremiah Knott, who's from Elkton, Virginia. And Jeremiah is a Bible and religion major, and he pieced together a summer working with 2 different congregations that he's been immersed in himself. One is called Faith Alive, which is an interdenominational group, and the other was First Bethel Church of Christ, which is also in Elkton. So we'll hear from those 2 today, and then spring semester, if you watch for it, we will hear from Wesley Wilder and Daniel Barnhart, who will share about their summers. Rachel?
Before I was born, the divine lover held me and whispered, "Feel my breath, stroke the canvas of your soul." Each brush of color burst through you, creating all that you should be. Goldenrod, indigo, magenta, myrtle, azure, and jade, patinas of each moment, will blend and form the spaces of life that I've given you. Within each space, find the color of you. Then spread your color, paint wildly, blend and clash and splatter with others, creating life in all dimensions of messiness, majesty, and pain. Now feel my breath stroke your heart, hands, and mind, connecting all symbols labeled words. Through you, tumbling words will jostle their way to deep revelations. Within every revelation, find the words of you. Then own these words. Be careful, shout, and speak and write, naming life in all dimensions of chaos, kindness, and truth. As I hold you, Blessed One, feel my breath, hear my breath, whisper always, 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 within your life, I am here. This poem, written nearly 5 years ago, has taken me through many seasons of my life. It was read at my baptism when my faith was formative but slightly fatuous. It sat on my desk through years when my faith was either fleeting or waiting for me in the darkness. It was a memento that pushed my faith forward when I whispered ministry to the vast universe and thought to myself, maybe. Some realities come into existence by pure chance. My life has been a collection of joyful accidents. I entered the art room my senior year of high school and realized the sanctity of creation. I traveled across the states to a university where I didn't know hardly anyone. I signed up for a cross-cultural to a place that I had never even heard utterance of. And lastly, on a whim, I found myself at a pulpit with the fierce desire to give. January of last year, I sent an email to a complete stranger with the subject header, "An Inkling, Ministry?" Carmen Schrock-Hurst was the recipient of that message, and her response to my rambling questions was exactly what I needed. Let's have a conversation. We began a discussion which prompted a relationship, which morphed into a mentorship, And somehow along this process, I was accepted into an internship very similar to the MIP program here. My specified grant allowed me to work at a summer camp with young adults and at my home church congregation as a pastoral assistant. I had felt unexplainably called. It wasn't a realization. It wasn't a profoundly graspable epiphany. It was a slow and steady pull, as if I were on a hilltop with the wind gently calling me home. I hesitated. I didn't want to be in a familiar place. I'm an explorer, and I feared that if I returned to Iowa from a summer, that stagnancy would completely overwhelm me. Ignoring reservations and acting on my initial instinct, I participated in the internship with two familiar communities, Crooked Creek Christian Camp and First Mennonite Church of Iowa City. These spaces shaped and molded me as I began to hold different individuals' stories and spiritual gifts. What began as a conversation with Carmen spanned into a multitude of conversations that guided my summer and made my overall experience extremely sacred. I realized that there's depth of spiritual development, and also discovered that the root of ministry is a conversation. It became so blatantly and beautifully simple. As the summer stretched on, I recognized how valuable a single moment with another human can be. Life was a sequence of fragmented time. One moment, I was just trying to catch my breath, and the next, I was erupting with contagious laughter, bandaging a scraped knee, pointing out a shooting star, answering a profound question, or taking a water balloon to my forehead. Each moment was a blessing and an opportunity for divine connection. At the end of every week, the staff would come as one to share these instances and their impact on our lives. We expressed them as bricks and balloons, or when we felt weighted down versus when we were uplifted. I discovered that most often these occurrences coincided harmoniously. It was in the troublesome kids that I saw the face of God, in the disappointments when I was overcome with a surprising sense of shalom, and in the spaces of questions that I was able to genuinely speak into some of my campers' lives. In a church setting, I felt similar pull to divine moments. More than anything, I was invited into vulnerability. I asked a woman near her dying day what psalm she most resonated with, and we read that passage again and again. I listened to the doubts and celebrated the questions of three individuals awaiting their baptisms. I sat with a woman who had recently become immobile and could only sit in her chair while doodling elaborate mandalas onto square pieces of paper. I shared tea with a recent widow, grappling with the seemingly empty years that awaited her. I wrote letters to elderly individuals shut into stale nursing homes with nothing but drooping plants and a photograph collection to keep them company. These situations carried me. These people showed me the love of God. I found that my sense of ministry was strongest when I was listening to those in my church community. When I met these individuals where they were and used language they understood and identified with, the conversations became ministry. Most often, it felt I was the recipient of the divine. In so many circumstances, I was invited into a space. I was given the opportunity to listen to individuals' messiness, majesty, and pain, and then allowed time for collaborative reflection and prayer. This pattern felt like God unfolding around me and awakening within me. The conversations were held and guided by something so much greater than myself. Working closely with others' faith gave me the strength to face my own. On Sunday mornings, when I was worship leading or providing a message, I looked to those whom I had spent my week with for inspiration. Facing out into the congregation, I spoke openly to them because they had graciously opened themselves to me. In my summer experience, I was able to create. I have always held an intense need to make things, most often with my hands or with my voice. I paint on canvas or I put words into poetry. However, this summer I created from a different place. In artwork, I strive to submit myself to the craft. The canvas becomes a work of art only when I remove myself enough so that I no longer have control. I found ministry to be similar. I gave in to God and was profoundly moved time and time again. I felt anew in the breath of the Spirit. Feel my breath. Hear my breath. Whisper always, always, always. Within your life, I am there. Thank you.
How you guys doing? Well, I was hoping you'd be better than that. Yeah, everything that was just said, I feel like I'm getting ready to repeat. So I'm from Elkton, Virginia, and this summer I was able to be with two different congregations, one with an EMU grad named Dan Bassett at Bethel UCC, and the other with Donnie Meadows, who's Faith Alive Fellowship congregation. 25 years ago, when I was 13, and you guys can do the math, I was riding my bike on campus here thinking about, do I want to come to this college and maybe is ministry part of my life? Even then, I had an inkling. So 25 years later, after living a life from going from California and back, Chicago and back, Florida and back, and doing a lot of worldly things, I find myself on campus at EMU looking at this folder that has a slip in it about the ministry inquiry program and trying to make a decision if this is something I want to do or not, if it's something that I'm called to do or not. And so I took the calling, and as you heard before, I talked to Carmen and found myself working with these two churches this past summer. What I was expecting when I came into the ministry inquiry program was to find profound change between a congregation that was independent and a congregation that was the United Church of Christ. And I wanted to find the differences, and I wanted to define the differences in a way that I would be able to make some kind of profound enlightenment on my own ministry. And the experience that I had was completely different than what my expectations were. I knew I was in the right place. I knew it was the right time, and I was trying to figure out if I was doing the right thing according to my will or God's will, and what was the best way to do that. The mentors I had this past summer were extremely well. They taught me by example. They taught me by personal ministry, getting together. At Faith Alive, I spent time at the church many days just cleaning and making sure that everything was in the right place, that doing the right thing, that the sound equipment was sounding like it should, that things were cleaned up for weddings. That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting to get in communion with people. The lesson here was that ministry is a job, and it's work, and it takes effort, and it takes meticulous care and planning to be there for people in the best way possible. On the other hand, I'm with Pastor Dan, and we're going around in the community working with the EAUS and showing up at people's homes so we can help them move, so they can get to the nursing home in the best way possible, so we can pick up bags of trash and take them to the dump for people who can't do that. Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. There's no way through the Father but me. What is the path that he's talking about, that path of servanthood, to be the best servant? And as we just heard, I was totally wrapped up in the idea of, if we are a body, kind of like Casting Crowns, the song Casting Crowns, why aren't our hands reaching? Why aren't we doing what we should be doing in ministry to come together as a body, instead of coming into something like the ministry inquiry program like I did, looking for differences? Every day when I got up to go into Faith Alive Church and work in the attic or work on the sound system, I had a decision to make. And that decision was, today, with what I am, where I'm at, Do I choose to explode into mercy just a little bit? Or do I explode into mercy today a great bit? To be there by myself, alone with God, with 110% ambition to do His will. And this was challenging when you're dealing with church politics in a way that you aren't aware of yet. And so I had this opportunity to either be in the moment doing the right thing at the right time in the right place with all of me, with the idea of Christ first, or I could slip back and stay in bed and not show up at exactly 10:15 when I said I was going to be there. You know, when somebody walked through the door on a Tuesday when they had the prayer stuff going on and they needed ministry and I was in the back cleaning up, I could have walked out and said, "Hey, it's great to see you at Faith Alive. Thanks for being here. Here's a pamphlet." And that could have been the message I carried. Or I could have been the kind of Christian who walks in and uses ambition and courage to walk up to them and sit down with them and ask them where they're from and how they're doing and really be there. And if they need a meal, then I do my best to make sure that they get a meal. If they're thirsty, I do my best to make sure they have a drink. I put myself in servanthood to be the best model of Christ that I possibly can be. Before coming into the MIP, I was looking to find my specific call in ministry. Was I going to be a pastor? Was I going to be a worship leader? Was I going to be a writer? It could have been all these options. The simplicity of what I learned this past summer with working these great mentors who came from two different perspectives on this whole thing was that my biggest call in ministry, no matter what I think or what I believe my skills are to be the best servant that I possibly can be, out of love and kindness and the example of Christ. And I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to be up here with you guys. Like I said, 25 years ago, at 13, I was on a bicycle running around EMU looking for a safe place to find a place to go take a nap, because that was not an option for me at home. And here I am, able to give back in the simplest way possible, just by being a servant. A lesson that I was amazed to learn this past summer, that the biggest call in my life is to be a servant. Thank you so much.
Thank you both for those stories, which are very different stories, and yet very similar. But I think it illustrates one of the truths about MIP, which is it can be very different for each one of you. So I just want to make sure that you know we have a web page which you can find on the go from the EMU homepage to Bible and Religion. There's an MIP page. It has links to stories from last numbers of years of participants and photos, and also an online application. So that's how you could begin your process. We're going to hang out here after chapel. If you have particular questions for Rachel or Jeremiah or for me, we'd love to hear from you. And I also want to say you can do MIP for 3 credit hours of academic credit. If you want to do that, however, you do have to pay for the credit. But it is a good way to get some credits over the summer if you're interested in that. I would like to lead us in a prayer that kind of ties together these stories and also blesses you for a break before we have Friday announcements. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for the beautiful creation that we are surrounded by here in this valley, as well as for the people who are around us. Thank you for this reminder from Rachel that you are in breath. You are as close to us as our breath. And I ask that you open our eyes and ears to see and hear you this day. And Jeremiah has called us on the path to service wherever we are. That's not limited to MIPers. And so I ask that you increase within each of us a desire and ability to serve where you have planted us at this point in time. We pray now for this break, for all the things that need to happen before things end the day today. We pray for faculty, students, and staff over these next few days that it would be a time of renewal, and we also pray for safe travel for many people who are on the road. And we remember those places around the world full of intense suffering, as well as those places near to our campus, and pray for your comfort and your healing and your hope. In the name of Jesus, amen.